LYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. You know, what's funny is we do appreciate our sponsors very much, but in addition to being sponsors, sometimes our sponsors are also really a big part of the ministry, and that's the example I set or I have today with Holly Slade. Holly and Dave Slade. Dave Slade and Associates have been longtime supporters of the ministry, and Holly is the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids, and she's in studio with us today. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
So you're not just supporting ministry. You're doing lots of ministry.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are, thankfully.
And we're going to talk a little bit about an event coming up called Find Out How You Can Feed New Mexico Kids. It's Friday, Calvary Church on the west side, but we'll give some more details in just a minute. But we're going to start with having you introduce Wanda Golson. She is part of Feed New Mexico Kids. Please do that.
Wanda is a wonderful woman who came to us from High Desert United Methodist Church up in Rio Rancho, and just wanted to get involved. And so often this is how Feed New Mexico Kids spreads to other churches. It's not a senior pastor decision reaching out to another senior pastor. It's generally somebody exactly like Wanda within the fellowship who says, wait a minute, you know, that's a worthy cause, and I think that's a fit for my church. And they reach out, we start a conversation, and we go from there. So I'm just thrilled that she's joining us today. I love Wanda.
Hi, Wanda. Thanks for joining us today.
You are very welcome. It's my pleasure.
I have apologized to Holly. I remember when I first started talking with Holly 2.5 years ago when I started hosting ABQ Connect, and Holly started to tell me a little bit about Feed New Mexico Kids and how children don't have food on the weekends, and I felt embarrassed and insensitive that I didn't know the kids didn't have food on the weekends. Wanda, how did you find out about Feed New Mexico Kids?
Well, I attend the Methodist Church here in Rio Rancho, and one of the women in my women's group had heard Holly give a presentation to, I believe it was West Mesa's Women's Club. And so she knew that our women's group at the church were always looking for projects, something we could do, hands-on, something we could do to help others, and especially help others in our community. So she brought the idea to me and said, do you think our women's group could do a project? Maybe 1 month we could put together, oh, maybe 50 bags of food and donate them to a local school. So that's how it all began.
And now you're feeding, I understand from Holly, you're feeding like 200 snack packs a week. Is that close?
Not a week, a month.
Oh, a month. Okay.
This morning we packed over 200 bags, and they 90 of them are going out this afternoon to be given to a counselor here at a local school and given to the children right away. So our little idea just blossomed. I cannot tell you how exciting it was. Our congregation is a very small congregation, as Holly knows, and we are an older congregation. But we are full of energy and full of love for the Lord. And so our little idea of maybe 50 bags every once in a while has grown to over 200 bags a month every single month.
Yeah, it's been amazing. When you think about what they are doing at their church, Wanda, roughly how many people attend your church?
Well, we might have 100 on a Sunday morning.
So if you think of the ratio, I always hold Wanda and her church up as sort of the heroes of Feed New Mexico Kids, because if you look at the ratio of that, if they've got 100 people attending regularly and they're doing 200 snack packs a month, look at what that church is doing. They're averaging 2 snack packs per person every single month. And, you know, we have churches that may be doing more volume than that, but nobody is hitting that kind of ratio where it's two snack packs for every attendee. So it's why I love what they're doing and their enthusiasm for them. And Wanda mentioned, you know, that they're an older fellowship. So packing these snack packs is not hard.
I want both of you to be careful with that older reference.
She said it first.
I resemble that a little too closely. So let's not talk about older. I want to break it down, though, Holly, because you went out, you talked with this women's group, and you presented what Feed New Mexico Kids is. And you've said on this program 100 times, look, we will show you how this works. So, Wanda, what happened when you guys finally got in touch with Holly? Did she come out and her team show you how this works?
She met with a small representation of our women's group, and she was so concise and so helpful. She showed us what the bag looks like, and she just gave us a vision. But here's the important thing. She gave us room to do this in a way that fit our congregation, and I so appreciated that. We got to work, and we made up little sign-up sheets for the people in our congregation, and we took it from there, and I will always be grateful to her, because we know, you know, we know what our people are like, and so it was very, very helpful.
I think that's a really good point that listeners and people at other churches need to know is Feed New Mexico Kids, the template is a foundation. It's a foundational building block, because what works for a mega church is not going to work for a church of 100 people, and then it'll be different still for a medium-sized church. It'll be different for a rural church versus a church in an urban area. And so it's a foundation. It's a concept. It's processes. It is a refined list of food. It's a logo. It's a starting block and a trajectory. And then, of course, if people have, you know, donors who can't give to a church, they can give to the Feed New Mexico Kids 501c3, and we can then donate back to the church, because there are organizations that can't donate to religious organizations. And so Wanda's group developed these sign-up sheets that then she let us utilize at Feed New Mexico Kids for other churches that were similar size. So everybody that we're involved with has not only just been recipients of the foundation, but then as they have built it to work for their church, they have fed those tools back into us. And as we meet with churches, we say, oh, you need to go meet with Wanda. Just recently, another church joined Feed New Mexico Kids, and they were of a similar size to Wanda's group, and so I had her go meet with Wanda directly. So you need to go talk to Wanda and find out exactly how they do it, because your churches are similar size, and she has refined a lot of it. And so, yes, we still do the foundation, but then we connect you with people of similar size, and it's not black and white. It's like, well, here's how we do it. Here's how we make it work at our fellowship, but it's still you have the flexibility to make it work at your fellowship.
Wanda, how are you and your team blessed by helping other people this way?
Well, there's no words to describe how blessed we are. I just 2 weeks ago, a little lady in our congregation, she's a great grandmother, came up to me and said, guess what? My great-grandson attends an elementary school here in Rio Rancho. He's in the second grade, and he's very challenged, but he brings home food packs that we pack in this church. And he has the biggest smile on his face. He loves everything in the bag, loves the little note of affirmation that we put in there. And, Holly, you don't even know this. We put in information about our food pantry, and his family is now taking advantage of our food pantry. So it has come full circle and beyond.
That's great.
Yeah, and I know that we've had callers call in and say, well, are you sharing the gospel with every snack pack? Well, the truth is you are. You really are sharing the gospel with every snack pack, but you're letting your service and you're letting your love do the talking. And people, it comes back, and now they know this is all because God's providing this. Would you say that's true, Wanda?
Yes, I would. And the other thing is, this morning, like I say, this morning we just did a bagging. We do a bagging once a month, and today was our day to do our bagging. And for the most part, the same team shows up, about 15 people, and it's a party. We have the best time. We joke and laugh and work, and we get that done. We were out of there in less than an hour.
That's fantastic. That's really fantastic. And I think that's a interesting point too. These groups of volunteers really do bond, and they become like their own small group or their own home fellowship group, because you obviously have not just your faith in common, but you also have this common interest and this common passion for feeding hungry kids. And then you learn about one another and you hold one another up in prayer. And like Wanda said, you come together and it's a party. It is actually a good time to be together with other believers, doing the packing of the snack packs and, just having a good time and fellowshipping with one another, doing something, you know, besides our standard, you know, potluck that we're known for, supposedly, in the Christian world.
You know, I think all of us, at one time or another, parents or PTA members or whatever, we've put together little prize packs for kids and done different things that are kind of make them all feel good. But Holly, this really is different. This is actually, in some cases, do or die, in that, you know, somebody's not going to probably pass away because they don't have food on Saturday and Sunday. But imagine, and you've told us stories about this, and Wanda, I'd love for you to share any stories that you have, but a child that goes home for the weekend and is not going to have food maybe Saturday or Sunday, and then they're expected to come at 8 o'clock in the morning and go to school. You shared, and I actually put this on Facebook, a story about a six-year-old who was going to commit suicide, and I started the quote by what you said. Can you imagine being a teacher and having to do a suicide assessment on a sixth grade or a six-year-old?
Yeah.
And then the six-year-old said, look, I just didn't want to be around because I'm such a burden to my mom. I thought she'd be better off without me. Well, that's heartbreaking.
Yes, it is.
And so this is different than just making people feel good. This is an essential life-providing ministry.
It really is. You know, we've got kids in third grade that lose 2 pounds over the weekend. If you consider the size of a third grader, that is entirely too high of a percentage of body weight. And then just the behavioral challenges, the mood challenges, the depression that sets in. You know, why would a little six-year-old want to commit suicide? And then if we go to the other end of the spectrum, a hungry teen is actually 5 times more likely to commit suicide. And with all that teenagers have going on in this era, I can't really quite imagine growing up with the pressures of social media that the teenagers have today. It was hard enough, you know, when we did it. And, you know, we had telephones with a, you know, a cord that you drug all the way across the house. And, you know, if girls were mean to you or your boyfriend broke up with you or whatever, it wasn't in your face every single day, all day long. So there's a whole lot of pressures. There's much more peer pressure now than there used to be. And there's a lot more disposable income among teens who are not hungry. And so the disparity between a hungry teen and a non-hungry teen is more visible than it used to be.
Yeah.
Back when people used to bring their lunches and or, you know, buy a school lunch. And then, you know, you didn't hang out at Starbucks. You didn't hang out at those types of places. We didn't have that disposable income when we were teenagers, and those places weren't really available to us. So it's much more public now when a teenager doesn't have money and doesn't have food, and they hide it. And so then it starts to affect their social lives because, of course, they can't go with their friends to those places. Or they will go and they'll lie, say that they're not hungry when they're so very, very hungry, and their friends around them are eating. So there's a component besides, this is not just a growling stomach. Mm. Like when you and I say we're hungry, we have access to food. It's a matter of timing and do we have to drive somewhere or are we on our way home? When these kids are hungry, they don't have ready access to food. There is no food at home, and there is no spare money in their wallet to stop in someplace and get food.
Yeah. Wanda, do you get any feedback from, like, teachers and things on the campuses where you deliver food? Are they blessed to be able to have this resource to give to their kids?
We work with the most wonderful counselors in the schools, and they do tell us about how thrilled the children are to get the food. But we had an interesting thing happen a couple of months ago. We had the local Kiwanis clubs in to help us bag, and they invited some high school, I think they're called Key Club Kiwanis groups in, and one young woman, freshman in high school, was helping us bag, and she told us that when she was in elementary school, she brought home food packs. They wouldn't have been ours, obviously, because we've only been doing it for a couple of years. But we had a chance to talk to her, and she told us how very much that food meant to her. And what dawned on me was that made such an impact on her that now she is packing food for children.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wanda, we're going to take a quick break. I don't know if you can stay with us, and you're welcome to say bye if you need to, but if you can, I've got maybe two or three more questions for you, but we need to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
As you listen to The Light on KLYT, remember it's the support given by businesses like Dom Garcia Realty that make this programming possible. We'd like to thank Dom Garcia Realty for supporting Reaching New Mexico with world-class Bible teaching. Dom Garcia Realty supports KLYT and hopes you will too. Thanks, Dom Garcia Realty, a full-service brokerage assisting buyers and sellers, commercial and residential property management. Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644.
We are commanded not just to see people saved, but to make disciples, teaching them to observe all things Jesus commanded. Our Shepherd School does this at an exceedingly high level. It is a mentorship program for men to be trained in apologetics, theology, character, prophecy, Bible study, preaching, practical ministry, leadership, and more. This opportunity comes only once every 2 years. Find out more and receive an application at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
Carlos, tell us some of the common misconceptions between what maintenance is required on a refrigerated air system versus maybe a swamp cooling system.
A really common misconception with refrigerated air is that you only need to have it maintained every 3 to 4 years. Refrigerated air should be maintained every year. There's a lot of different things that can go wrong with that could be prevented, because 90% of our repairs are lack of maintenance. It's deferred maintenance. It's dirty coils.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. We are talking about children that don't have food on the weekends, and we have a great ministry in town, Feed New Mexico Kids, that is helping a lot of people, literally thousands of young people. Wanda Golson is with High Desert United Methodist Church in Rio Rancho, and the founder of the ministry, Holly Slade, is in studio with us. Wanda is packing 200 snack packs a month, breaking the bank for the church?
Absolutely not. We are just amazed at how the funds come in. You know, we can't explain that. I don't think anybody can, but we have money, and actually we could probably do a few more if I had manpower. That's one of the things that is a little bit of a challenge at times. I did want to mention that even though this started out as our women's group project, the whole congregation has caught a vision for this. So we have some men that step up and help us. Holly's met my husband, Gordon Golson, and he's there every single time, carrying boxes, taping boxes, and we have other men that show up. So this is spread throughout our congregation.
I think it's a really good point. This is a wonderful ministry for husbands and wives to work together. A lot of men are needed in this ministry, whether it's driving with trucks to go pick up the food, whether it's, you know, like Wanda said, moving the boxes back and forth. And it really is kind of a nice project. I think a lot of times men, when they volunteer, get put in the soft skills. You know, they can be a greeter, they can lead a Bible study or do some of those soft skill things. And sometimes it's just nice to come together around a meaningful task.
Yeah.
And, you know, help with the task and help move things. And, hey, I've got a 3/4-ton pickup truck. I can go to Sam's on Friday and pick up the food for you. It's very practical work that we have to do. And so, you know, shout out to all the men out there who are looking for a way to volunteer and give back to the community. We do need a lot of help.
You know, I like what Wanda said earlier about the Key Club. I think we need to reach out to Cleveland and Rio Rancho High Schools and say, time for your Key Club to have a regular project.
Yeah. About
once a month.
There you go.
And I'm also going to say this. I've got some friends of mine involved in various churches out there in Rio Rancho, and I'm going to say, hey, you don't necessarily have to have this in your own church. Why don't you join forces with United Methodist Church in Rio Rancho and just go double the number of snack packs, and maybe they'll provide the space and stuff. I don't know, Wanda, I'm volunteering you guys to be the center of all this. What do you think?
I like it.
Well, and Wanda, what I've gleaned today is it is fulfilling, and you are serving the needs of God's people, and you're blessing a lot of people through this, and it's not that expensive, and the time commitment is actually not that much. So I hope that people will call Holly. People can go to feednmkids.com, and if they live out in Rio Rancho, you'll probably send them over to Wanda to help.
Yes, and if they live down in Valencia County, we also have a Valencia County point person as well.
What would you say right now, Holly, if somebody is in, let's say they live over by Del Norte High School?
Yeah, they just call the main number and we will get them plugged in.
Yeah.
We have a centralized warehouse. We've got churches scattered throughout the city. So it's a matter of what quadrant of town they're in, what area they want to serve. We've got several churches that are packing at their local churches. We can connect them there. We can connect them with the central warehouse. And so there's a lot of flexibility. I'm going to put a shout out right now. We need people with 3/4-ton pickup trucks. We need about 5 more men with 3/4-ton pickup trucks who are available on Friday mornings.
By the way, I know a couple ladies that drive big 3/4-ton pickup trucks.
That's good, as long as they have strong backs and they're strong.
And they have horse trailers connected to them every weekend, but they could be using for snack packs during the week, right?
Yeah, as long as they have good backs and strong, because these are large pallets of food that go to the main warehouse. You know, if we're dealing, you know, Wanda and her team are probably not moving pallets, but we're moving pallets. And so there's just a spectrum. And if people would just sort of raise their hand and say, I think I'm interested, here's my skill set, here's my resources, my time, my treasure, my talent, whatever it is, can you use me? You know, leave it up to us to decide, you know, yes, you know, we have a place for you, but just, you know, raise your hand and let us know you're there.
Yeah. Wanda, I so much appreciate you spending time with us today. Are you going to be at the event? It's going to be held October 22nd, this Friday, 7 to 9, Calvary Church Westside at 6051 Winter Haven Road. It's called Find Out How You Can Feed New Mexico Kids. Will you be there, Wanda?
Absolutely. My husband and I are going and taking another lady from our church, so we will be there. Jim, can I have one more second?
You take all the time you need, Wanda. Please do.
Thank you. This kind of a project, a ministry, will lend itself to anybody that wants to help in the church can help. We have a little lady in our church who is a stroke victim, And she does the stapling for us when we staple our materials together to put in the bag. We have women and men who are somewhat disabled, and they walk around the table with a walker filling snack packs. This is a wonderful ministry that anybody that wants to can help.
Well, that's a great word.
That's exactly right. You know, we've had people who are on walkers, and they will sit at a table or on or you know, at a little desk. We used to have a volunteer who was in her 90s, and she would join and roll spoons. We put a spoon in a napkin in every snack pack, and so she would sit, because she could not stand, and roll the spoons up in the napkins for us, and it was delightful. Wanda's exactly right. Anybody who wants to participate, we can arrange it so that they can.
And if you have the perspective that this is life or death for a lot of kids, this is something that will keep a child from really having struggles in school, having health problems. I mean, there's just a lot. The value of this is unbelievable. So the time that you do spend volunteering, I hope. Holly, what is the general number to Feed New Mexico Kids?
We really need them to just go to the website and get the information there. It's hard for, we don't have a person at a dedicated phone line, so email works best so that they can get back to them. Feed New Mexico Kids is a volunteer-run organization, and so email's best so that they can get back to you, and you don't play that game of phone tag where you're on the 10th and 11th
And you can contact the ministry at feednmkids.com. You just click on Contact Us, and it'll take you right to an email.
Email is info@feednmkids.com.
Perfect. Wanda, again, thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back more with Holly Slade right after these messages. Thank you.
Control your GAP. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of Vision for Life. GAP control is a large part of playing defensive line. A nose guard or defensive tackle can shut down an entire element of a team's running game with good GAP control. Being a Houston Texans fan, one of my favorite players to watch is J.J. Watt. Watt has a tremendous ability in controlling the gaps on his side of the line and making tackles in the backfield. One of the greatest testimonies about Watt is his zeal and effort for every single play. This hasn't always been the case in Houston on the defensive line. Another first-round draft pick was accused by the media of taking plays off, and as a result, was not reliable. You know, when we take plays off, we are also seen as unreliable. Proverbs 25:26 states, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Friend, don't give way. Stand your guard and control your gap day in and day out.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio.
Please save the date for the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home annual holiday affair, benefit dinner, and auction Saturday, November 15th at the Embassy Suites Hotel. 5 p.m. Our annual holiday affair, benefit dinner, and auction is a fun way for us to share the successes of our children and thank you for your prayers and financial support. To buy tickets, donate auction items, or make a donation, call 898-5520. More information is available at acch4kids.org.
Men, do you desire to study the deeper things of God? Cross Christian Fellowship College goes in-depth in apologetics, teaching, and doctrines. Study the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism, views of the rapture, eisegesis, and exegesis. This special mentorship-style college is low-cost and only one night a week. Get information online at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
The KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at snmacherdental.com. You know, Feed New Mexico Kids must be a God thing, Holly, because where do you else would you get people like Wanda Golson?
I know. She is heaven sent. I adore her.
Yeah, that was so nice of her to join us by phone. And, you know, it's an amazing ministry. It's Holly, you've shared with us before that the concept came to you because you were looking at some sex trafficking ministry, and then all of a sudden you found out that there's kids that don't have anything to eat on Saturdays and Sundays. Can you explain to us, though, why they have food during the week and the gap that you're trying to fill?
So they have food during the week because of public school. So if their school is a recipient of the Title I food and breakfast program, and it's a little different this year because of COVID, actually APS is doing breakfast and lunch for children who want it. You don't have to qualify to be a Title I recipient. Prior to COVID, there were, you know, financial thresholds that the family would fall under, or circumstances that under the McKinney-Vento Act that qualified a child as homeless. A homeless child is different than an adult. A homeless child is a child who is living in a motel. They can be living with an intact family in a car, or living in a homeless shelter, or families who are doubled and tripled up without adequate means. So, for instance, there was a family that we were helping. The mother moved out of a domestic violence situation in El Paso and came to Albuquerque with her children, and she then lived with her sister. So they had too many children living in a two-bedroom apartment. Okay, so technically those children qualify under McKinney-Vento. Well, the children came from El Paso, and they started getting snack packs. They were so excited because in El Paso they didn't get snack packs. And because of the situation of both families, there just really wasn't enough to go around. But she got a job here. She actually got a job in the public schools as an educational assistant. And now she is attending CNM, and she was able to get a car. And, you know, she's building a new life. But part of building that new life is having a safety net come underneath your children and help you. And, of course, other assistance services came alongside too, but very often the gate to entry and the gate for trust with these families is finding out that there is a simple entree of a snack pack for a child. And as the food builds trust, then the parent or the guardian will often share with the counselor what's going on in the home, and then they're able to wrap additional services around them, whether it's school supplies or directing them to rental assistance programs or telling them how to get an education, or just, it's a really amazing kind of the doors that it opens to other services that are available to families.
You can slap me if I say things that you don't like, but I'm thinking that you talked about El Paso, and when you said that, I immediately thought about Las Cruces, all the way down to El Paso. For all intents and purposes, that is one gigantic community.
Yes.
That goes from New Mexico to Texas.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful area of the state. I love all the people. If they want to come to your event on the 22nd, and I don't care if you're in El Paso or if you're in Las Cruces or anywhere in between, or anywhere between Albuquerque and there and the southeast part of the state, wherever you are from, if you can come to the Find Out How You Can Feed New Mexico Kids, Holly's going to show you how to get this done, because you said she came from El Paso and they didn't have snack packs. Well, maybe they need them.
They do. You know, really, this shouldn't just be Feed New Mexico Kids. This should be Feed Texas Kids, Feed Alabama Kids, Feed Mississippi Kids, Feed Arizona Kids, Feed, you know, people need to lock on and start taking care of the children in their community. And if people are listening and they can't come, they're actually going to do this Facebook Live.
Oh, cool.
The event is going to be on Facebook Live. I really hope that people who are local will come, because we have this wonderful pediatrician, Dr. Coley, who's going to speak, and they're going to show this 30-minute documentary that was produced and directed by Sarah Conafani, who is a multi-Emmy Award-nominated filmmaker. And she donated her time and her talent to make this documentary, and it's moving, it's impactful, and it's relevant. I mean, I just keep thinking, if you knew the name and you saw the face of the hungry child that lived in the radius of your home, you would do something. You'd buy a Target card. You would reach out to the family. But because we don't know their names and we can't see their faces, I think it's out of sight, out of mind. And what people really need to understand is this is so prevalent. One out of every four children, it's actually more than one out of every four children. It's not quite to one out of every three, but one out of every four children in New Mexico is hungry. So just start counting. If you saw, you know, eight children recently, two of them were hungry. Just start doing the math so that you can have some impact in your own heart. I know we have compassion fatigue. I know that we have been, you know, in an onslaught of need and tragedy and, you know, death and, you know, all kinds of things that are going on. But we just can't allow ourselves to put blinders on and not care about our community.
I'm going to say something that's going to sound really irrelevant till I hope I can draw the analogy. Was watching a concert pianist talking about doing a performance. And I mean, if you ever watch a classical pianist, they get after it. I mean, it's a physical workout. And this woman, actually was a woman, was talking, and she said that I get so fatigued near the end, but my playing is so much better because even though I'm really tired, it's like God gives me this supernatural energy that I can press through it and keep going. Of course, that's something we learned in athletics.
Right.
Our listeners, and I know this about them, are not going to be cowards when they get fatigued. They are going to get after it. And this is the time. This is the time where we need, this is a solvable problem. We can actually solve childhood hunger. We can make sure that nobody is without food on the weekends.
Correct. We can actually solve this in New Mexico, especially because we are a low populated state. We can get our arms around this. This would be much harder, in my opinion, if you were trying to feed New York kids and actually eradicate childhood hunger. But given our population in this state, given our economic centers, given the cooperation with Albuquerque Public Schools, Rio Rancho Schools, Valencia County Schools, so we've tried it in, you know, Albuquerque Public Schools is the largest school district in the state. It's one of the largest school districts in the country. So if we can get along with one of the largest school districts in the country and figure out how to make it work with them, then it can work with smaller school districts as well. It's easier to scale it down than to scale it up.
I'm hoping that some competitive juices are flowing with people from New York that just heard Holly say that. You're not criticizing New York. You're just saying in your own mind, this seems like an overwhelming problem. But I promise you, New Yorkers are saying, I think this would work in New York. That's what they're saying.
Good.
Because it could, because there's just a lot more resources, because they have a lot more people. But the need is greater. And COVID, and you mentioned that earlier, has kind of exacerbated this whole problem.
Yeah. I mean, we should not have hungry children in this country. I mean, really, if you brought, you know, let's just say if you brought a visitor into our country, you know, this land of plenty where people have two cars and they have lots of bedrooms in their houses and lots of clothes, too many clothes, and then storage units. Oh my goodness, we all need storage units for our more stuff. Mm-hmm. And you said we have hungry children here. Their mind would bend. It doesn't make sense. The logic doesn't flow. Something is broken. And when something is broken, we have a responsibility to fix it. These are the smallest, most vulnerable members of our community. They cannot go get a job and help themselves. They need loving, caring people to come alongside them. And sometimes their family system is broken and the family needs somebody to come alongside them. Sometimes a parent is on drugs or has been taken to jail. And whether it is a crisis or a death that has come upon a family, or whether it is, you know, just very, very poor parenting, how is it the child's fault? I have people say to me sometimes, well, you know, the parent should. Well, yes, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you're not going to help because the parent should. You know, I can't do anything about what the parent problem is because they range, you know, a spectrum so wide that I can't possibly start programs to address everything that might be going on in that household. But you know what I can do? I can get a whole lot of people together and pack snack packs, and I can get some money raised, and I can get some food in these kids' bellies so that at least they're not in despair. If we can just keep them out of despair, if we can give them some hope, if we can get them through to Monday morning so that they can learn and they can thrive and they can have a different outcome in their adult life than their parents had, we can actually do that.
Discreetly, they're going to be given a snack pack by a counselor, that's what Wanda said earlier,
right,
or a teacher, or however that's distributed through a school. They can put it in their backpack discreetly.
Yes.
Doesn't have to make that public. You've even told us stories about children that have been in desperate situations with bad parenting, and they've still gotten their snack packs. They've still been able to eat, and they just kind of keep that confidential because that food could be taken from them.
Correct. And that's why we work with the public schools. There needs to be an adult in the mix. You know, because what if a child does have a food allergy? What if a child is diabetic? What if there's, you know, something in the pack that they shouldn't have? So that's why we work with the schools so that they can be handed directly to the children. Yes, there are food banks, and some of these food banks utilize, some of the families utilize food banks, but then there are also parents who weaponize food, and it's a child abuse. It's a form of child abuse of this starvation or semi-starvation of your own child. And so, again, that's why the packs go directly to the child. So whether it's a happy thing for the family that their children are getting snack packs, or it's a secret thing for the child, again, the food is going directly to the child.
What's a snack pack?
A snack pack is a gallon-sized Ziploc bag that has single-serve food in it that's open and eat. We have a very specific list. So it's a flip-top can of ravioli. Now it's actually two minis because we can't get the big cans anymore. And it's a packet of peanuts, trail mix. We do put ramen in there as a belly filler. Kids will eat that dry. We put in a single-serve mac and cheese. And there used to be a pudding cup. Now we have to substitute that out with either a yogurt or actually cookies, which I hate to admit. But, you know, those grandma's oatmeal cookies aren't as bad as they sound for a kid. And then
kids need calories.
Yeah, we've got an applesauce squeeze in there, a protein bar, and a cereal bar, and two of the little dried fruit or raisin snacks, and then a spoon and a napkin. Mm. And it's the same pack every week. It's reliable. It's dependable. We've learned that that is something that is meaningful to children who live in insecurity of any kind, is reliability and dependability. They know what's coming in their pack every single week. Mm. And they look forward to it. They strategize with it, and they plan, because the contents of this Ziploc bag needs to last them the weekend. And so they plan what they're going to have for dinner, and they plan what they're having for breakfast, and they plan. So, for instance, there's a packet of oatmeal, and I mentioned that there is the single-serve mac and cheese. So you can make the single-serve mac and cheese with hot water. You don't have to have a microwave. And so for kids that are homeless, specifically teenagers that are homeless, they can go to a corner store and get hot water because they have their own container. So they will sometimes make their macaroni and cheese and then eat it and then lick out the container and go back in and make the oatmeal. Now, to you and I, macaroni and cheese and oatmeal doesn't really sound like a meal. But when you are a homeless teenager and you have hot water available and you have two items in your snack pack that require hot water, this is now your meal. And so they might put things together differently than you and I would, but you know, they're in survival mode.
And they're not insecure because, again, there's that consistency that Feed New Mexico Kids is providing. Holly, you're not after a windfall of money. You are going to budget. Right now, the resources are short. There's a lot of kids that need snack packs that you're not able to provide them for.
Correct. You know, we're in a situation right now. Our snack pack used to be $3.88, And just because of what's going on in everybody's life right now with food shortages and supply chain issues, and we're so tired of hearing that phrase, aren't we? But the cost of our snack pack just increased 26.5%, so now it's $4.91 per pack. So thankfully, it's still under $5. But they stopped with the big can of ravioli, so now we do the minis, and we do two minis. And so that went from 75 cents to $1.66 right there, boom.
But that's primary because that's some protein.
It really is. It's the cornerstone ingredient of the snack pack, that and the macaroni and cheese. The kids just love, whether they're in kindergarten or high school. You know, there are foods that are more elementary focused, like little kids will eat Vienna sausages, but high schoolers won't. So when we started out, we had Vienna sausage. We don't anymore because they're not, they don't stand the test of K through 12, basically. So, you know, we need to raise money. We need to raise about $300,000, to be perfectly honest. We're bringing in about half right now of what we need to bring in order to, you know, make it through to the end of the school year. And, you know, going back to security for these kids, one of the worst things that can happen is a takeaway, something that they have been getting and then they don't get any longer. And that's why we haven't added some of the other kids that have called in, because if we can't see it through, then we can't add them. So once we know that we can see them all through, then we add them.
And again, I want to emphasize, we've said this before, all of the money is going to serve the kids. There's very small portion that goes to boxes that carry the snack packs. Obviously, you have to buy some Ziploc bags, but the rest of it's going to food, 100% volunteer organization. You have people spending their own gas, picking up boxes and delivering them, picking up the food at Costco or Sam's Club or wherever you're getting it, taking it, getting it packed, the delivering it to the schools. I mean, the volunteers are just amazing. Holly Slade is the founder and executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids. I want to read, before we take a break, there's an event this Friday, October 22nd. It's going to be held at the Calvary Church West Side, 6051 Winter Haven Road Northwest. Calvary's donated the use of that building. It's called Find Out How You Can Feed New Mexico Kids. The event is not a fundraiser, but rather an educational evening for those in the community who have not yet learned about Feed New Mexico Kids and their mission. They hope to inspire new business owners. We haven't talked about business owners, but that's something we need to talk about. Churches and other organizations to join them in the fight to end childhood hunger. We'll be with Holly through the top of the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Alone in his underground cell, Richard Wurmbrand cried out, "How can I serve you, Lord, in solitary confinement?" He felt God's response was, "Think it through for yourself." Richard began tapping the walls in Morse code. Sure enough, other prisoners responded, and slowly Richard began preaching the gospel one tap at a time. Years later, he met one of the other prisoners and learned that he had become a Christian through the sermons in prison code. God turned a hopeless situation into someone's salvation. When you feel useless and unable to serve God, don't give up hope. Cry out to the Lord, asking Him to give you creative ways to share the gospel.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor would I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
Are you confused by the date labels on food? Hi, from Samaritan Ministries, a health-sharing ministry. I'm Doug Chamberlain with a family health checkup. $218 billion. That represents the amount of food that's wasted in this country every year. Consumers are responsible for most of that waste, costing a family of four an average of $1,900 a year, simply because we don't understand date labels. Well, here's what those dates mean. Two dates are for the consumer, and neither are an indicator of food safety. The Best Buy date shows when the product should be consumed for the best flavor and quality. Use By is the last date recommended for peak quality. The Sell By date is for the retailer, and is when the product should be removed from the shelf. However, there's still plenty of time to enjoy the food after this date. I hope that helps. For more, visit us on Facebook or at familyhealthcheckup.org.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
You know, most Americans, I think, this time of year, we start to see commercials about Christmas. What? The commercials are already on about Christmas, and we start thinking about Thanksgiving. But there's families that are really, they don't just get to enjoy that Thanksgiving meal and stuff. And Holly, in addition to the snack packs, you're also helping to provide families with Thanksgiving meals.
True. We do a pre-cooked Thanksgiving meal. So it is pre-cooked sliced turkey that is frozen, so it has a... So it's cooked and then frozen, okay? So it has a four-hour shelf life so that the kids can get it home. And it's dehydrated potato pearls, and it's dehydrated gravy, and a flip-top can of green beans, and a flip-top can of corn, and a dozen rolls, and some apple snacks, and a few other things in there, and plates, and spoons, and serveware, and we have containers that mark where you add the hot water, and literally this goes to people who are living in a car, living in a motel. It goes to families who are doubled and tripled up in apartments. There's too many people living in the apartment, therefore they won't call the landlord and tell them that the oven doesn't work because they're afraid that they'll get kicked out. So all kinds of situations, people who are sometimes living in their own home, but they don't have enough money to fix their appliances or repair their appliances. There are people who can't afford a roasting pan. They can't afford milk and butter to make the stuffing or make the mashed potatoes. And so we give those in dehydrated form, and all of the dehydrated things need is water and a spoon to stir them. And so there's a lot of labor involved in putting that together, as you might imagine. And it is a partnership with Albuquerque Public Schools. It's one of the few food production facilities that's even big enough to handle the task. And so, you know, this is outside of their responsibility in feeding their students. We actually pay for them to do this for us, and they willingly go the extra mile and prepare these meal bags for us so that we can get them back out to these families. So it's not paid for by APS. It's paid for by Feed New Mexico Kids and Calvary of Albuquerque. Calvary does a big fundraiser every single year, and they're in the middle of their fundraiser now. And it's $50 per family. And we are limited.
Now, these families don't pay.
No.
But the rough cost is to the ministry is about $50.
Correct. That's what it costs us to pay for APS to, you know, do all that food and the labor.
Could another church raise $5,000 and help you feed 100 families for Thanksgiving?
Yes, they could. And we would love that. Yeah, we would love anybody to raise money and come alongside this. So we're serving 2,000 of these families, but currently, we have over 3,000 kids getting snack packs. So there's the math for you, because the funds aren't there.
How do you decide who gets a Thanksgiving meal?
We leave it up to the school counselors and nurses and principals to triage the families. We explain very clearly what the meal is. This is not a frozen turkey. This is not, you know, if somebody is able to get that kind of meal elsewhere at some of the other Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there's food pantries doing some really cool things too.
And so if they have the ability to go get one of those frozen turkeys and cook a frozen turkey, they should absolutely go do that. This is for families who, even if somebody handed them a frozen turkey, there is nothing they could do with it. So that's the families. And, you know, we use the word family because it's too clunky to say group of people living together. So don't think, you know, mom, dad, 2.5 kids, white picket fence, and a dog and a cat. This is a non-traditional family most of the time. It is single parent. It is grandparents raising 6 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. It's children that are with guardians, caretakers. There is such a diverse grouping that they are non-traditional families.
Holly, there are people listening in Las Cruces. There's people listening in Socorro, Santa Fe, all over the state of New Mexico. And are they invited to come to this event Friday? And I know you've already said if they can't come, they can also join you on Facebook Live.
They are so welcome to come to this event. And I wish they would, because I really would like to see this get outside of the Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, you know, and Las Lunas, you know, kind of metro area, and really out into more rural communities. We would love for somebody from Santa Fe to start it up there. Would love for somebody from Gallup and Grants, Las Cruces. We would love, I mean, they've got a university down there.
Would you be wrong if you just automatically thought, yeah, we don't have kids in Santa Fe that aren't eating well?
Yeah, you would automatically be wrong. Yeah, very wrong. Very wrong. I mean, who would have thought that there were hungry kids in Rio Rancho, mm-hmm. right? And so think about Santa Fe and the diverse demographics that are up there. You really would think Rio Rancho doesn't have hungry kids. It does, and Wanda is serving them, and they could serve more if they had more hands. So there really is no place in New Mexico that doesn't have hungry children. I have looked at kind of the poverty maps that you can get from the census bureaus. And what's interesting is you don't have to live in poverty for a crisis situation to come upon you. We served a teenager up who was attending La Cueva, who suddenly became homeless through a crisis situation. Now, most listeners would probably think there aren't any homeless, you know, students at La Cueva. Well, there was, you know, and interestingly enough, I think sometimes if you're in an affluent demographic, you assume nobody around you is hungry. Hunger hides. People hide it because they are ashamed of it. And part of what we do is try and bring it into the light so we can solve it.
Mm, amen to that. I'm thinking that there are grandparents that are doing their best to try to take care of their grandchildren and may be overwhelmed by that. Thank you, grandparents, for stepping up and doing the things. And there may be some resources available to you through Feed New Mexico Kids. And don't hide this. Don't hide this. There's a lot of people that will come alongside you and help with these kids. And if you're a young person, you could be a high school student. You could be, you know, 8 years old and listening to the radio right now. Feed New Mexico Kids is ready to help and do some things. And all the churches, you know, there are a lot of church leaders in this town that, you know, share this studio and come on and talk about their events and different things. This is just an amazing outreach into the community. And by the way, you serve everybody. Doesn't matter what their religious beliefs are. Doesn't matter what their orientations are. Doesn't matter what their ethnicities are. I mean, you're taking care of whoever needs food.
We are. You know, Scripture says pure and undefiled religion is caring for widows and orphans in their time of need. And, you know, these kids live like orphans. We don't have modern day orphanages, you know, much anymore. But these kids are living in an orphaned condition, and we come alongside them and care for them in their time of need.
Yeah. Holly, what's an ideal number? I mean, if you had, I'm going to talk about the whole state. If you had another 50 churches in the entire state of New Mexico, could we be close to taking care of our state?
Yes, we could. You know, and that's a realistic number. I think if we had 50 more churches, we could take care of this state.
Boy, that's not very many.
It's not. Not. No. It matters where they are. You know, we need them strategically placed. If we had 50, we could, you know, probably do it. If we had 75, do it better. If we had 100, we'd do it faster.
Think about 100 churches total in the whole state of New Mexico. Boy, that is just not very many.
No. And it grows every year. You know, that's what people have to understand. Like I said, hunger hides. But when children and schools and teachers start finding out there's a solution, it comes out into the open and changes lives.
Mm. Always a blessing. We'll see you on Friday, 7 o'clock to 9 at the Westside Calvary Church. And just real quickly, let me give you that address. It's 6051 Winter Haven Road Northwest. It's just north and east of the intersection of Montaño and Coors Road. Holly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Jim.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.